What happens when we die? A hope bigger than heaven.
Not long ago, I had surgery that required several hours under anesthesia. I remember lying there talking with the nurse and the anesthesiologist. They were asking routine questions, adjusting things, making small talk. Everything felt very ordinary. And then suddenly I was waking up. There was no sense of drifting off, no awareness of time passing, no memory of hours going by. One moment I was talking, and the next moment they were waking me up. But something else struck me. I was no longer in the same room. My body had been moved. Different people were standing around me. Hours had passed, but to me, it felt like a moment. And in that moment, I found myself wondering something every human eventually wonders. If death is anything like that. What happens next? The Bible often describes death using a surprisingly gentle word. Sleep. The prophet Daniel wrote,
"Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life."
When Jesus spoke about Lazarus, he said,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him."
And the apostle Paul comforted grieving believers by speaking of those who had fallen asleep.
"We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death."
Early Christians used this language so often that the word cemetery actually comes from a Greek word, meaning sleeping place. Perhaps that metaphor is more meaningful than we realize. From our perspective, death may feel something like falling asleep under anesthesia. One moment we close our eyes, and the next moment we awaken. Yet the Bible also speaks about death in another way. The Apostle Paul wrote,
"My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." And again, "to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord."
Even Jesus told the thief beside him on the cross,
"Today you will be with me in paradise."
So Scripture holds two ideas at once. Death is described as sleep, and death is described as being with Christ. But perhaps those two ideas are not as different as they first appear. Even if centuries pass between death and resurrection, the one who dies may experience it as the very next moment, like awakening from a deep sleep. Yet when we read the New Testament carefully, something surprising emerges. The central Christian hope is not simply going to heaven when we die. In fact, the Bible rarely speaks about that idea at all. Instead, it consistently points to something far more radical. Resurrection. Paul writes,
"If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised, and those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished."
Notice what Paul does not say. He does not say, "Don't worry, they are already in heaven." Instead, he insists that everything depends on resurrection. Jesus spoke the same way.
"Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day."
The promise is not escape from the body. It is the redemption of the body. Paul writes,
"We wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies."
The early Christians insisted on a phrase that may sound unusual to modern ears: the resurrection of the body. They defended those words fiercely. The Greek world around them believed salvation meant the soul escaping the body. In Greek philosophy, the body was often viewed as a prison. That idea slowly worked its way into Christian imagination, which is why many people today assume the ultimate goal is simply going to heaven. But the apostles taught something very different. They believed God created the world and called it good. So redemption could not mean abandoning creation. It had to mean restoring it. Resurrection is God's declaration that creation itself is worth saving. Paul writes,
"The creation waits with eager longing. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay."
Not just people. Creation itself. The earth. The cosmos. everything God made. In the book of Revelation, there is a moment that is almost impossible to comprehend. John writes,
I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
Try to picture that moment. Every creature that has ever lived, every voice, every corner of creation, all joining in praise. And if it truly is every creature, a question naturally rises in the heart. Why are they praising? That is a mystery I continue to wrestle with. But whatever the answer may be, this much seems clear. The victory of Christ is far larger than we often imagine. The Bible spends far less time explaining what happens when we die than it does promising that death will not have the final word. The story of Scripture does not end with souls leaving the earth. It ends with God making all things new. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is confidence in a promise God has already begun to fulfill. And so, perhaps, the deepest promise of the gospel is this. The hope of the gospel is not escape. The hope is that God refuses to abandon his creation. Jesus said,
I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
The one who created this world, the one who entered it, the one who defeated death within himself and rose again, and the one who promises that one day he will make all things new. We cannot fully understand what waits beyond this life. But we can trust the one who waits for us there.
Father, there is so much about the life beyond this one that we do not understand. But we thank you that our future does not rest in our understanding. It rests in you. You are the God who created this world and called it good. You are the God who entered our world in Jesus Christ. You are the God who defeated death through the cross and resurrection, and you are the God who promises that one day you will make all things new. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to live with courage and peace. And remind us that death is not the end of the story, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen.
Death is the one reality every human being must face. But perhaps the deeper question is not simply what happens when we die. Perhaps the deeper question is this. Do we trust the one who holds the future? Because if Jesus truly is the resurrection and the life, death is not the end of the story. It is only the beginning of the next chapter.